Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson. I'm the pastor of VU Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Would you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61? Isaiah chapter 61. I love this scripture because this is the very first Bible text, the very first sermon we have recorded of Jesus. I think it's so important that this man that we're following, this God that we submit ourselves to, Jesus, this is where he started. He says in Isaiah chapter 61, he opens in the book of Luke, you see him do it. In Isaiah 61, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Today, I want to share some good news. I want to share some good news that we serve a God who is good and that he is for us. And he cares about us. He's so big that nothing is out of control for him. But he's also so close and so personal, nothing is too small. He sees your problem, he sees your pain, he sees the mountains in front of you, and he's big enough and close enough to handle it all. Yeah. And I love verse 3, which is really where I want to spend our time today. In verse 3, he says that God has bestowed on, he wants to bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Have you ever felt like your dreams were burning down all around you? Have you ever seen a relationship crumble into rubble? God wants to give us beauty instead of ashes. He wants to give us the oil of joy instead of mourning. He wants to give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Friends, I don't know what you're going through today, but I have a message that God has been speaking on my own heart. He's been dealing with me on it because it's something that I know I need. And this year has been a year of trying to get my joy back. Today, I want to share from this topic, get your joy back. I want you to get your joy back today, amen? Hey, come on, can we go to God in prayer? Can we do something all over this place? Could you just lift your hands to heaven like you want to receive something from God? Because we do. God, with our hands raised high, God, we come to you today, and we ask, God, that you would speak to us, God, that you would take my broken words and that you would encourage us, God, that you would speak through me, that you would encourage us, that you would remind us of who we are because of whose we are. God, we need you. God, I pray that we'd leave this place better than we walked in, that we would leave encouraged, filled with more courage to become the man or woman of God you've called us to be. God, strengthen us. Fill us with your spirit. We need you now. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. Come on, everybody said. Just give God, just one more time, another shout of praise. God, we love you. We love you, Lord. Come on, all over this place. As you take a seat, I want you to do something. I want you to turn to five people and give them a double over-the-head high five. Has to pop, has to make noise. Say, I like you. I'm thankful I'm sitting next to you today. Well, man, what an incredible Sunday to be in church. Man, how incredible was VU Conference last week? Absolutely amazing. VU Conference, you know, being a part of such a great church and a part of such a great conference, it's not normal at all. It's absolutely exceptional. And I just had to take one moment and I had to shout for the servant leaders. I know what it takes to put on something like this. Church, can you just appreciate and thank all the servant leaders who volunteer and give their time and talent? So amazing. And Kristen and I, my wife Kristen, we pastor a church in New York City. I love New York City, a city so nice they named it twice, New York, New York. Kristen and I, we came down for VU Conference and we brought our entire team with us and we were so encouraged, so amazed. And today I'm coming to you, not as a guest, but as a family member. I am Rich's youngest brother. I am Rich's favorite brother. I am Rich's smartest brother. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. That's not true at all. But I come to you today as family, and I'm just so honored to get to be here today. Like I said, Chris and I, we started a church. We planted a church in Harlem, New York City, just over 3 years ago, and we're so excited about what God is doing. And even though I'm here in Miami, my heart's in Harlem, and I wish I was there today cheering for them. But if you're ever in New York City, please come visit us. It's such an amazing church. It's the same DNA. It's the same family, and it's so amazing. But I want to introduce you to my family. Can I show you my family? First, I have to introduce you to my beautiful bride, Kristen Renee Wilkerson. Renee. Look at this girl. Oh my gosh, that is Kristen. You see, 6 weeks ago, we had a baby boy. And that is Kristen 30 minutes after she gave birth. She woke up like this, flawless. I mean, look at her. And look, this is my son, Hudson. He already has two girlfriends. We gotta pray for him. It's gonna be really, really tough. Hudson Taylor Wilkerson, named after the great missionary, named after me. I'm named after Hudson Taylor. He's a little legend. You need to pray for him, though. I don't think he knows Jesus yet, because he disobeys me every single night. He wakes up crying, like at 4 a.m. Like, God, you need to pray. You need to pray for Kristen and I. But I want to introduce you also to my daughter Nora. This is my baby girl. How cute is she? Oh my gosh, no one ever told me that my baby girl would steal my heart the way this girl has stolen my heart. She is absolutely the best. Real quick, can I see who's in the room? Are there any parents here? Yeah. Parents?
Oh, yeah. Big fat.
You see how tired they sound, guys? My God, you need to pray for us, parents. Are there any people without kids here today? Oh my goodness. Look at all the energy. It's so amazing. Hey, being a parent is hard. Being a parent is really, really hard. Last night was the hardest night yet. And I'm not saying that, like, this is not a prepared thing. Last night was actually the hardest night yet. My daughter last night discovered that she has the ability and the strength to get out of her crib alone. This is the worst thing ever. You see, I didn't realize that I had not taught my daughter obedience. You see, I've been putting my daughter in a crib and she's been staying in there, but that's not because she's obedient, that's because it's a little prison cell. And last night she discovered that she can escape the prison cell. Guys, being a parent is hard. Being a parent is hard, and you know, Rich and DC and I, we've been talking all week about how are we gonna raise our kids? How are we gonna raise Wyatt? How are we gonna do this? This is so freaking hard. How are we gonna do this? And I was thinking about something that my parents did to us to teach us discipline. Any of you grow up getting whoopings? Yeah. Not spankings, whoopings. I grew up getting whoopings, and one of the ways I would often get a whooping would be because of my attitude. It would be because of my spirit. My mom, she would do this thing that if we would come to church, if we would show up to church, we'd be in the car, and maybe I'd have a bad attitude. And I'd be like, I don't want to go to church, Mom, you know, or if she was showing up to school, and I was mad, Mom, why don't you give me gushers? You know, like any reason that I could have any sort of a bad attitude as a little kid. I remember I was like 8, I was 15, I was 25 years old. She would do this exercise with me where we'd get to our destination. She'd put the car in park. She'd look behind, and I would be like crying angry. Like, you know when you're crying so hard, your lip is doing this. Like I'm so mad and so crying so hard. And she'll turn around, she'll go, all right, Taylor, it's time to press your happy button. It's a true thing. Everyone, can we practice pressing our happy button together? Can everyone get their index finger out with me? Index fingers out. My mom would do this. She'd turn to us and say, all right, it's time to press your happy button. And you press your nose and smile. Everyone at 1, 2, 3. See how much better you feel? I noticed it didn't work for all of you. So you can try again. You might have another happy button. Here you go. Get your finger out and go for your belly button. You gotta press your happy button. My parents, they would do this. Like, press your happy button. You see, my parents, they would do this because they were trying to teach me that my emotions weren't allowed to determine my behavior. And they were trying to teach me this principle that I'm in control and that my emotions are not allowed to determine the way I show up. They're not allowed to determine the way I treat people. They're not allowed to determine the way I show up to work, and maybe I don't feel like being there, but I still have to be excellent and I still have to give my best. Might not want to go to school, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to be excellent and I'm going to give my best. My emotions are not allowed to determine my behavior. Some of us, we need to learn how to press our happy button. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? You want me to mask my emotions? You want me to come to church and be fake? No, I don't want us to be fake. I don't want us to be fake. I want us to be faithful. Yes. You see, Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I went into the Greek, and the word always literally means all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. He likes it so much that he says, I'll say it again. Rejoice. What a crazy scripture. I'm not sure if it's challenging or encouraging. Challenging because, let's just be honest, I don't rejoice in the Lord always. Last night when my daughter was able to get out of her bed at 1 a.m, I was not like, thank you, Jesus. My daughter has learned how to escape penitentiary. That was not my celebration. I'm not sure if it's more challenging or encouraging because I have such a hard time at rejoicing always. But at the same time, it might be challenging, but it's also really encouraging. You see, if the scripture says to do something, it means that we have access to the capacity to be able to do it. God will never call you to something that he won't equip you to be able to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, that's not fair, Pastor. It's the Bible. It's Paul. Paul, he wrote like most of the New Testament. Paul is in prison when he writes this. Paul is saying that even in prison, I can rejoice. Paul was shipwrecked. Even when I'm shipwrecked, I can rejoice. Paul was betrayed by his best friends. Even when I'm betrayed, I can rejoice. Friends, there is a God-given capacity that no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens to you, you can have something deep inside of you that gives you a confidence to rejoice, to live with joy, always. In fact, there's all this research that's coming out right now about people who are trying to discover how to be fully filled with happiness and joy. And the research is so fascinating because they actually did one study where they took two groups of people. One group of people had won the lottery. Hey, blessings on blessings. One group of people won the lottery. The other group of people had a terrible thing happen. They got into an accident and they lost the ability to use their legs. They become paraplegics. Two groups of people. An amazing blessing and a terrible tragedy. Both groups of people, what the scientists tried to do is discover what their happiness or joy level was before the event. And don't you know that they took both of these groups, whether the good thing happened or the bad thing happened, and they looked at them 2 years later, and both groups of people were at the exact same joy or happiness level they were before the event. What does that mean? That's good news. It means that our circumstances don't determine our joy. Both the good thing and the bad thing led to the same result. It's so encouraging because Harvard, they just released a study where they say that they can only determine someone's long-term happiness up to a 10% accuracy based on external circumstances alone. Friends, this means that the other 90% isn't up to what happens to us. It's not based on our income. It's not based on our gender. It's not based on our race. It's not based on where we're from or what happens to us. The other 90% is based solely on us. Why? Because God will never call you to do something that he won't give you the power to be able to do. We have it inside of us to be able to somehow live a life where we can rejoice in the Lord always. Elbow your neighbor and say, get your joy back. Elbow your other neighbor like you like him a little bit and say, get your joy back. Get your joy back. I believe that God wants us to get our joy back. Because in 2019, the data is just so obvious that there is a chronic lack of joy in our culture. Depression's at an all-time high. Anxiety is roaring. Sleepless nights, insomnia. In fact, 1 out of 9 of us in this room are currently taking medication to help us with this. 1 out of 5 of us will take medication to help us with depression, anxiety, or insomnia at some point because of what's happening in our hearts and our minds and our souls. God wants us to get our joy back. And I want to give us 3 things real quick that I think are going to help us get our joy back. The first thing I see in people who live with joy, number one, the first thing that I see in people is that they trust the purpose. Trust the purpose. When we started 2019, we always start the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's called Pray First. And at the end of Pray First, I made a commitment that this year, 2019, I was going to lose 20 pounds. I'm so excited because 6 months later, and I only have 30 pounds to go. I'm kidding. That's not actually true. I've reached my goal. I've reached my goal, and let's go. One of the ways that I did this, though, is I had to change what I was eating. I had to change my intake, and then I had to change my behavior. I had to change how much I worked out. And I joined something called CrossFit. Anyone ever heard of CrossFit? I'm not sure if I love or hate CrossFit, but I go. CrossFit's the worst because CrossFitters make the worst, most painful things look really, really fun. Burpees? Can't wait. Let's do 1,000. Like, what's wrong with you? I go to CrossFit, and every single day I see guys, they're like ripped. And I'm like, why are you here? You're finished. You're done. Go home. CrossFit's so hard, but I joined my CrossFit, and they have this slogan, and they put it on their merch, they put it on shirts, they put it on the mirror in the bathroom, they put it on the ceiling, so when you're looking up and you're crying, it's there. It says, trust the process. And the reason that they say that is because the truth is you can go to CrossFit, like you join, go for 5 straight days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, grind, let's go CrossFit. Like you can do it every single day. But the truth is like after 5 days, you won't have any results. You'll just have a whole lot of pain. But how many of you know that pain always comes before the results? And that's why they put on the wall, they have to remind us that we need to trust the process. The thing I've seen in people who live with a lot of joy is that they somehow are able to see the purpose in the pain that is in their life. They're able to trust the purpose despite the circumstance. I mean, I look at Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Friends, the word joy and cross should never be in the same sentence. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What does that even mean? You see, Jesus somehow, when he was going to endure the cross, was able to see something that you and I don't always see. I love how it says that he endured the cross. It doesn't say that he enjoyed the cross. I find myself so often trying to avoid what God has called me to endure. I find myself, if I'm not careful, trying to go around what God has called me to go through. You see, Jesus, he didn't evade it. He didn't go around it. He endured it because he understood that on the other side of the cross was his purpose, was his mission. What was Jesus' purpose? It was your and I's salvation. Jesus' cross, literally the purpose of the pain was to bring you and I salvation and eternal life today. What was Jesus' joy set before him? It was you and I. It was the promise that you and I would be in relationship one day. It was the promise that his spirit would live within us to equip us and to empower us to be who God has called us to be. He was able to see the purpose in the pain. He trusted the purpose. I mean, you see this all throughout the Bible. You see, Jesus' cross brought our salvation. Jonah's whale took him to his destination. You see, Job's greatest tragedy led him to his greatest blessing. You see, Jacob's fight with God led to his freedom. And Joseph's time in prison led to him being in the palace. Friend, what are the painful things going on in your life today? The things that you wish you didn't have to endure. The things that you wish you could somehow go around. Friend, somehow, some way, God has purpose in the pain. I'm not trying to sweep it under the rug. We're not trying to act like it didn't happen. Instead, we're gonna face it head on. And we're gonna make a decision to believe that even tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, at the job I don't wanna be at, God has a purpose for me there. I'm gonna believe that this commitment to a marriage that I feel like is struggling, I'm gonna make the commitment that God has a purpose for me here, and this season will produce fruit in my life that I can never imagine. I'm gonna believe that no matter what hard thing comes my way, there must be a purpose, there must be victory, because we serve a God who is for us, he's not against us, and he's gonna give us the ability to rejoice always. Trust the purpose. Trust the purpose. There's certainly purpose in the pain. And the second thing I see happen with people who are able to get their joy back, live with joy, is these people, they put on praise. Put on praise. Can you just say put on praise like TDJ? Say put on praise. Put on praise. Isaiah 61, going back to the scripture, it says that God will give us a garment of praise in exchange for and instead of a spirit of heaviness. Have you ever encountered the spirit of heaviness? The stress? The heavy cloud when you wake up in the morning?
the depression, the anxiety about tomorrow, the doubts about whether or not you can make it happen. Have you ever had the spirit of heaviness? Come on, it's a safe place. The spirit of heaviness is a real thing because the struggle is real. The spirit of heaviness is real. But I love that God gives us a prescription. A prescription to let go of the spirit of heaviness today. See, today we're not against taking medication. We're not against psychiatrists and counseling. But we believe that if we're going to take the world's prescription, we should be willing to take God's prescription too. And I love the idea that we can exchange our spirit of heaviness, that feeling you feel, the spirit of heaviness that you encounter, you can literally trade it for a garment of praise. A garment of praise. I love the idea that it's called a garment of praise because it sounds like something I have to literally put on. Like I have to make the decision. Like I'm so grateful that all of you made the decision to put on clothes today. They say in public speaking, if you get nervous, just imagine the entire room is naked. That makes me more nervous. That is the worst advice ever. I'm so thankful that today, like you do every single day, you made the decision to put on your clothes. Because how are you gonna go through life without clothes on your back? It's kind of the same way. How are we gonna go throughout life without praise on our backs? We have to put on praise. What would happen if every single day this week, the first thing you do is you decided to put on praise before we put on complaint? Because it's so easy. If I'm not careful, I wake up first thing in the morning. I had a long night. My daughter's been crying. My son's been crying. I have an early meeting. I wake up in the morning and I feel tired and drained. If I'm not careful, my first thought is, oh gosh, another Monday. What if instead I decided to do something else? What if I decided to put on praise, put on gratitude and said, God, you know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What if I showed up to work tomorrow and even if I don't want to be there, I said, God, I thank you because I even have this job. God, this might not be my long-term vision, but God, thank you for making me aware that I have a next step in my life. God, I'm going to praise you for what I have. I'm going to give thanks to you, God. I'm going to live a life full of gratitude. I'm going to put on praise. I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to trust the purpose. I'm going to put on praise. You've got to literally put it on. I love how Nehemiah talks about it. It says that Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Come on, everyone do it. Hands up. Go, amen, amen. Amen. You guys sound awesome. It says that all the people got together and they praised and they went, amen, amen. Then it says, and then they got down, they bowed down, and they worshiped. Praise. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Worship. God, you're good. God, I need you. I submit my life to you. Praise. I don't think we saw it. Praise. Amen, amen. Worship. Worship. It's important that you know the prescription. The prescription for the spirit of heaviness isn't actually this. This is good. Worship's great. Worship's necessary. But the prescription to the heaviness isn't more weight on your back. I already feel like this. I already feel, my face is already in the ground. I don't need this. The prescription is amen, amen. It's waking up in the morning. It's having a chest up high saying, God, I trust in you today. God, I praise you today. Amen, amen, amen. God, I need you. God, I believe in you because I am the head. I am not the tail because you are for me. You are not against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church. If you're thankful for a God who gives us this joy in our lives, say amen, God, we praise you. Every day, we've got to, amen, amen. We've got to go throughout this life saying, God, I thank you, I praise you, I need you, you're good. I love you. I find myself in certain seasons, you know, even as a pastor, as a deep spiritual leader, even as a pastor, I find myself fighting the spirit of heaviness. The pressure gets real. The heartbreak it's there. But you know what I do? I have a routine, and I tell my wife, I say, hey, I'm gonna go put on praise. And what I literally do is I go get my AirPods, Apple plug, hey.
I put on my earphones and I turn on a playlist. This playlist is a playlist I made back in college. And it's really, it's the music I grew up on. And I turn on this song, and I'm going to show you in a moment. I turn on this song, and I go for a run, and it's praise music. So some of us, when I'm saying put on praise, you need to literally, like, turn on praise. Yeah. Well, Pastor, that music doesn't match my emotion. Yes, that's the point. I feel down, but I turn on music that is up because God has given me a prescription, and it's praise. And I go for a run, and I listen to this music, and... Anybody grow up in a gospel singing, choir robe wearing black church? Anybody? Come on, some people in here. You see, I grew up at Trinity, Miami, and I love our church. I love the church that I grew up in because my family and I, we always say, our church is diverse because my family and I went there. Our church is not diverse at all. Church is all black and then we're white. It's diverse. I actually have a picture of me in the choir swaying the wrong direction, clapping as everyone else is swaying that way. True story. Zach Freeman sent me a photo just the other day of him and I on the dance team, like wearing all yellow, and there it is, white kid front and center. You got to put the white kid front and center so it looks diverse, you know. So, but I think sometimes it's so important to go back to the music, go back to the songs that were part of your early spiritual formation. And this is who I am. It's the music I love. And when I feel the spirit of heaviness, I turn on this playlist. Does any of you guys know this song? You can turn up. Anyone know this song? Anyone like some Fred Hammond? Hey, 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 hey. I've got to remind myself that I'm blessed and I'm not cursed. I've got to remind myself that God is for me. I've got to literally sing words that I'm not feeling right now. And like I say, God, I'm blessed. Even though my world's falling apart around me, I'm blessed. And I go for a run and I remind myself that I'm blessed today. Amen? You can turn it off. I love Fred Hammond. And a few years ago, my oldest brother, John Fulton, I'm not sure if you guys have met him yet, he pastors a great church in Tacoma, Washington. And a few years ago, he was going through a really hard season, and I was with him, and I'll never forget, you know, like, what we did was the only thing we knew to do, and we turned on this song, We're Blessed, and it wasn't until this part of the song came on that it completely changed everything. It goes, late in the midnight hour, God will turn, you can turn on, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. See, some of us, we need to be reminded today that late in the midnight hour, when you might feel like, hey, the thoughts are going, I can't fall asleep, the anxiety is real, the stress is there, I need to remind myself that late in the midnight hour, God is still working even while I'm sleeping, that he's for me and that I'm blessed today, amen? We've got to put on praise. God is so good. You can turn it off and... Can I play you one more song? Does anybody know this song? Verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more. Oh, you better act like they thirst anymore. Preach up. God shall wipe away. Yes, sir. Oh, hey, hey. Get ready for the revolution. Hey, 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 hey. The verse though. Sitting tired of the jerks killing each other, sick and tired of daddies leaving babies with their brothers. To every man you wanna lay around and play around, listen partner, you be man enough to stay around. Sick and tired of the jerks talking religion, they only talk about each other, make a decision. Okay, I'm sorry. Friends, when the spirit of heaviness gets real, you gotta turn on some praise. You've got to declare some things over your life. Even if you don't feel like it, you've just got to make a decision. You've got to declare it out. God, I'm going to rejoice always. This is why the beginning of service is so essential. Yeah. Every single week we come together, we start with a praise song. Yeah. We don't feel like it, but we do it. The worship team, they're so incredible. They get here at 5:45 in the morning. They tired. get here at 5:45 in the morning, first song hits, 10 in the morning, and they're like, your love is breaking out like an echo. I feel it breaking out and then an echo in my soul. Working hard. Working hard, even if they don't feel like it. Why? Because they're trying to help you and I get to our prescription. They're trying to help us understand how important it is to jump up and down and to say amen, amen, amen. For some of us, the most important part of the service is the part we miss most often. It's the first song. It's what we need for our soul. There's a more relevant song that is so important to me in my personal life. It was the song that my daughter was born to. It goes like this. You guys know this song? It's called Grateful by Elevation Church. And it's literally just about declaring what I'm saying. About declaring, God, that I am grateful for all that you've done in my life. My wife was literally giving birth, and this is literally what was playing when my daughter was born. Look at the lyrics. It says this. It says that this is the day that you have made. So you know what? Whatever comes my way, I'm gonna put on praise. I'm not gonna put on complaint. All of my hope, the only thing I have to rest in, is in your name. And you know what? My joy is on the other side of my praise. Do you know the song? You can sing this part. So I'm gonna give thanks for all. You guys know this one? And I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing. God, amen. I am grateful today. Come on, aren't you grateful today for God? You gotta put on praise. You gotta put on praise. See, Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord. I mean, it literally says it, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise him. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Our joy is on the other side of our praise. And even in the pain, we can still do it because God gives us the ability. He gives us the capacity to experience joy, to live with joy, despite our circumstances. I'm not talking about happiness today, friends. I'm talking about joy. You see, happiness is determined by your circumstances, what happens to you and around you. Joy is not about a circumstance. It's about a confidence that God is in me and God is for me and that he's pushing me together, that he's working all things together for my good. Happiness is about my feelings. Joy is a foundation that I can build my life on so that I will not be shaken. Happiness is about what happens to me. Joy is something that happens deep within me. But how do we get this joy? Well, we make these decisions, the decisions that we've already made, that I'm gonna trust the purpose, I'm gonna put on praise. But number three, you can do these exercises, but until you do number three, until we know the source, all of it's for nothing. Isaiah 61, verse 3. God will give us the oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy. See, oil. Every single time it's mentioned in the Bible, every single time it's used, it's always used to symbolically represent God's presence. Oil is always used in coordination and in alliance with the Holy Spirit. Friends, we gotta know the source. We need the Holy Spirit today. We need the Holy Spirit alive and active in our life. In fact, I'd go as far as saying that without the Holy Spirit, you'll never experience true joy. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I have a ton of scriptures for you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The next verse says that Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I think this is so powerful. Can you throw it up there? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. My next scripture is in Luke. It says, and at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus needed the Holy Spirit inside of him to have joy for the hard times. In Acts chapter 13, it says, and the disciples, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. Over and over, you see the joy and the Holy Spirit are aligned together because joy is a byproduct of having God living inside of you. Joy, I'd go as far as saying, is a promise from God if we know how to get our joy back. I'm so captivated by the disciples because in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were in the upper room praying, about 200 of them. It was 9 in the morning. And at 9 in the morning, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came on the room and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Miracles started happening. They started speaking in other languages and they were filled with joy. How do I know they were filled with joy? Because at 9 in the morning, outside, people started saying, "Those guys must be drunk." How does a room of drunk people act? Hey, party time. I mean, they were filled with joy. So much so that people outside were accusing them of drinking too much. Hey, they must be drunk in there. The truth is that we all have a need to get drunk. What I mean by that is I mean that we all have pain. And because we all have pain, we all have a coping mechanism. We all have a need to get drunk. For some of us, it's staying up till 3 in the morning, watching Netflix to try to escape from our own realities and to dive into something else. For some of us, it's going from relationship to relationship, trying to distract ourselves from our own brokenness. Sometimes it's throwing ourselves into our career and becoming workaholics and trusting in our own abilities instead of trusting in God. For some of us, we're actually getting drunk. See, friends, we all have pain and we all have coping mechanisms. And you need to know that there is no other source for joy. There is none. Not even good things. Your family, they can bring joy for a season, but they're not the lasting joy you need. Fulfillment through your career is a good thing. It's an important thing. You should pursue it, but it's not the final joy that you need. I love how it says, in Ephesians 5, it says, so don't get drunk on wine. Don't use other coping mechanisms. Don't get drunk on wine because it's going to ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit today. What happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit? It says it looks like we'll be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And it looks like giving thanks to God in everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it looks like praise. Friends, you got to get your joy back. God wants us to get our joy back, and he gives us the ability to get our joy back. How do we get the Holy Spirit? How do we get the source? It's one really encouraging word. It's the word repent. Now, the word repent, it sounds like it's such a negative word, but it literally means to turn. It literally means to turn, to just change directions. If you're experiencing the spirit of heaviness, if you're experiencing the depression, the anxiety, if it's not working out the way you'd like it to, maybe there's a turn that needs to happen in our lives. A turn from our own way to God's way. It's the most encouraging thing. We're not paying the price. We're just turning from ourselves to Jesus. I love the idea that if I can turn from my ashes to the beauty that God has for me. I can turn from my mourning and receive the oil of joy. I can turn from the spirit of heaviness and I can put on a garment of praise. I can turn in Hebrews 19, it says, because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, because you have turned from your own way to God's way, God will set you above your companions. How? By anointing you with the oil of joy. It's the Holy Spirit. Friend, God has joy for you no matter your situation, no matter your circumstance. He gives you the capacity to be able to somehow experience this foundation and this strength. Joy is not an emotion. It's a tool, and it's something that God equips you with so that no matter what comes your way, you can see, you can trust the purpose. So no matter what comes your way, you can put on praise. No matter what comes your way, you don't just know about the source, but you actually know the source intimately. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.